Lewis, for dedicating class to Shavuos. So this is going to be like a, you know, in the secular world they have an Uzi gun. We have Ma'uzi. Ma'uzi is a Hebrew word meaning my strength. Hashem is our strength. But this is going to be like an Uzi class. There's going to be a lot of, we're going to try to rattle off a lot of things here. We'll stop. Time, take questions, of course. First of all, obviously, Shavuos is the giving of the Torah. It's called by several names. So that's one question we're going to ask. Why do we know it as Shavuos? It's known as Yom HaBikurim, the Day of the First Fruits. Right? This is the first fruit. And it's known as, what else? Atzeres. In Talmud, it's always called Atzeres. And we talked about it in the past because just like Shemini Atzeres is the culmination of Sukkot, well, Shavuos is the culmination of Pesach. You know, that's just what it's all about. And remember, you gave that beautiful, beautiful parable in the physical world. Pesach is springtime, right? Where you have flowers. But that's not the final product. The final product of those flowers is fruits. And that comes a couple months later. That's exactly what's parallel in the spiritual world of Shavuos. Pesach is the springtime of Israel. We're physically free. But that's just a means to an end. That's not the Gemar Pri. That's not the finishing product. The fruit is Shavuos. We get the Torah, and therefore the first of the Ten Commandments that we got in Shavuos says what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Lord your God. Asher Barash Shemayim V'aretz? No. Asher Chesicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, took you out of Egypt. This is it. Right? If you think about it, you would think the first, if Hashem wants to introduce himself, if you will, you know, he'd say, I'm the Lord your God that created heaven and earth. Right? No, what does it say? I'm the Lord your God. Asher Chesicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of the land of Egypt. And this is the culmination. This is the culmination of that. This is the Atzeres. Okay? And this is the Declaration of Independence. Now we are a Ben Horim. Well, now we are a free people. And that's why it says that it was, it says, you know, the writing, it says it wasn't written on the tablets. It says Cherus. It was engraved. And they have a play on words, Cherus, Cherus. Cherus also means to be free. Now, if they're given the Torah, we're truly free. Without the Torah, you're not free. Okay? So now we're going to go back. Number one, why do we call it Shavuos? Why don't we call it Atzeres? Why don't we call it Yom HaBikurim or Matan Torah? I mean, we use all these terms, but, you know, basically we know the holiday is Shavuos, right? Okay, that's question number one. I just as a little side thing, it's cute. One of the reasons they say is that Shavuos in the letters, Shavuos, the Hebrew letters, half cup of it, in the Hebrew letter Shavuos is all of those other names, right? Shin, right, Shavuos. Shin, hold on, let's get on the board here. Okay, here's Shavuos. Okay, Shavuos. The Shin is for Shavuos. The Beis is Yom Bikurim, right, the first fruits. The Ayin is Atzeres. And Torah, Matan Torah. So, okay, so that's one thing. Okay, Shavuos is also, it means vow. Could also mean a vow. Okay? But really, the simple meaning is weeks, which is a hint to the answer. Okay, but it means vow, also a shvua. Why? Because on this day, Kadosh Baruch made a vow that we will be his nation, right? Just like you make vows at a wedding, so to speak, like we can, like this, like a chasana. There's a lot of things you learn about a chasana and about a conversion, by the way, from Har Sinai. You know, it was like the chuppah there, Hashem came down, we got married, Hashem made an oath, you'll never leave us, you know, and we made an oath, we'd never leave Hashem. Okay? That's one thing there. Okay? But, okay, that's not the that's not what the answer we want to get to. We want to know a different reason why we call Shavuos in relation to weeks. Okay? Question number one. Question number two. Gemara says the following. Every holiday that the Jewish people have is Chatzil Hashem v'Chatzil Lachem. Yeah, every holiday is half to you, Hashem, half to Hashem, and half for us. What does that mean? What does that mean? Half the day, so to speak, we do what, David? We learn Torah, we're in shul, we're davening, you know, a sukkah, we have the arba meaning. You do whatever you got to do, right? Because that's the half to Hashem. The other half, we know is to us, which means physical pleasures, you know. You know, we dress nice on a yontif. right? We eat nicer food, right? There's a mitzvah, if you like it, to have meat and wine, okay? You have meat and wine on the yontif, right? All these things. So it's half the sham, half the... Okay, so the debate is that some people, according to certain opinions in the Gemara, is, you know how you can celebrate? You don't have to eat. You don't have to eat. You could spend the whole day Torah and mitzvahs and davening if you wanted and be exempt from the meals. But on Shavuot, Hakol Noidi Nami Lachem. Everybody agrees on Shavuot that there's definitely an aspect of half the day should be involved in physicality. That's question number two, because if you think about it, of all days, you would think just the opposite. The day of the giving of the Torah, that I can hear spending the whole day learning Torah. As a matter of fact, you know, we do. We spend the whole night, right? So, of all days to learn out the half the day we spend in physicality, Shavuot, right? That's not kind of strange. Okay, that's two questions. Again, why we call it Shavuot? Number two, why on this day, definitely half the day we spend in Gashmias, if you will, physicality, right? Question number three is, Shavuot, of all holidays, if you think about it, is unique. Why? Because it has no symbols. You think about it, right? Right, Rosh Hashanah, apples, honey, and so forth, right? Machzor, special sitter, right? Sukkah, the Dal Nini, right? Lulav Esrog, all those things, right? The Sukkah itself, right? Hanukkah, you have the Lich, right? Purim, the Megillah. Whatever it is, every holiday, Pesach, you have the Matzah, right? And right? So every holiday has a day, and Shavuot comes around like the most important day, given to the Torah, but we're all about nothing. No symbols. Okay, that's interesting. Okay? Sure, we read Megillah Shavuot. Okay, we'll talk about that, but basically Shavuot has no symbols. Okay, that's another question we want to ask. And then, the final question, and then we'll try to tie these together, and that is, the main place that we learn simcha, to have simcha, to have, you know, joy and happiness on the holidays, is from Shavuot. But the first time, the rule is, Tzadok HaKohen mentioned this, that the rule is that any time, the first time something's mentioned in the Torah, that's like the paradigm for it. That's when we learn it out. By Pesach, it doesn't say simcha at all. By Shavuot, it mentions simcha the first time. And Sukkot repeats a simcha. But Shavuot is the first place you find simcha. Okay? Okay? So, those are our questions. We're going to try to take them now one at a time. Okay? Got the questions? Shavuot, why we got Shavuot and not all the holidays? Right? Why is there no symbols on Shavuot? Right? Why does everybody agree that half the day should be spent in physicality? And why is the ikar place for simcha by Shavuot? Okay? Okay, you have to understand, we have to understand that in the physical world we do understand, well, at least we should, that we don't get anything by ourselves. You know, we realize we work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. The bottom line is HaKadosh Baruch Hu crowns our efforts with success. And if, you know, the Eibush is all helping, you can shoot with the broom, right? And he's not helping, then it doesn't matter what you do. He ain't going to be successful. Right? Okay. The truth is, there's no difference in that and in spirituality. A person has to realize in spirituality as well, the fact, and if you think about it, that the Torah is called Machshava Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Torah is called the thought process of Hashem. That's like, you know, if we kaviyachol, you can use such terms by Hashem, but whatever that means, the Zohar makes a statement: Yisrael derives of Kodesh Baruch Hu Chadhu, that Israel, the Torah, and Hashem are one. We don't know what these things mean, but the fact that the Torah is the thought process of Hashem, that the Torah preceded the creation of the world, the fact that it has God in it, right, makes it impossible for us, flesh and blood, finite people, to grasp anything of it. It's a miracle that we can grasp anything of the Torah. So we have to realize, not only in physicality, we have to thank Hashem for any success we have, but in spirituality, any insight, any learning of Torah, any comprehension of it, it's all from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So there's only one thing we can do, the effort, the hachana, the preparation for it. That's why the holiday is called Shavuos. By us, it's Shavuos. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Matan Torah. Right? Because Shavuos is what? It's the weeks, the counting of the Omer. First day, right? Second day, third day, fourth day, right? Working up to Shavuos. Because that's all we can do. We build up during these weeks. This is a preparation for the Torah. That's our part. And, you know, that's our effort. And the bottom line? Matan Torah. Then our Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to us as a matanah. That's what it means. Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, and the word matana is a gift from Hashem. We prepared the best we could, and then Matan Torah. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu gift to us. So by us, we call it Shavuos. That's the term we're going to use, because that's what all we can do is the preparation. Isn't that beautiful? The success and the actual getting the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gift to us, but we prepare for it. That's answer to question number one. Okay. Answer to question number two. We'll say let's hit no symbols on Shavuot, right? What is it that you need a symbol? You know, you need a symbol to remind you of something, right? That's what you need a symbol for, right? Whatever it is, in the secular world, you might wear some sort of bracelet if a person's allergic to something, right? It's, well, whatever it is, or, you know, things that we do, we write notes, whatever it is, we do things to a symbol, whatever it is, to remind us of something. But let me ask you something. Do you have to remind yourself to eat? Do you have to remind yourself to breathe? No. Right? That is part of your everyday being. That's what Torah is. That's what makes us a people. It's no coincidence that the Torah was given in the desert, not in the land of Israel. Make no mistake about it, there's Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. You can't do Torah mitzvahs to its fullest completion like you can in the land of Israel, that's for sure. But we still can survive without Israel. We cannot survive without Torah. Therefore, the Torah was given to us in a desert to tell us, this is what makes you the Jewish people. Right? Not the land of Israel. I mean, I don't want to ever belittle the land of Israel, because we all know how important it is to us. Right, but the bottom line is the Torah has given us, that is our declaration of our independence. That's what makes us a nation. So that's something we're involved in all the time. It's not just learning Torah. The bracha that we say in the morning, remember, right? Oisek b'Torah. If you know Hebrew, I mean, like in Israel, we'll say, Ma esek shelcha, what's your business? What are you involved in? After that, we don't say l'lmod Torah to learn Torah. Oisek b'Torah, be involved, completely submerged in Torah. That's what it is. That's why we don't need a symbol. We don't need a symbol because we're completely submerged in Torah. There's nothing that goes on in the day that the Jew doesn't have to stop and think. Oh, I'm about to eat. Am I milk? Am I places? Is it kosher? Is it fruit from Israel? Was it mice are taken off? Right? Tying your shoes. Got to tie. You know, your left one first. Put it on a coat. Shirt, blouse, put on the right side first. Take a shower, got to wash your head first. Oh, walk us in everything. There's nothing. How would you sleep? How would you sleep? You know, a man cannot sleep on his back or on his stomach. Can't sleep. There's halakas how you sleep. There's halakas how you eat. Brachas before, after, what you eat, how you eat. Okay, there's all sorts, every part of the day. It's a beautiful thought if you think about it. There's no such thing as a mundane act in Judaism. Everything has a holiness to it. Okay? So, therefore, you're involved in Torah all day long. That's not Lumot Torah, it's Oisek B'Torah, continually involved in the Torah. Are your business dealings? Is this according to Choshen Mishpat? Is everything according to the law in your business dealings? How you greet people? How you deal with each other in a relationship with people? Lashon Hara, whatever it is, right? Everything. But Adam l'chaveil, but Adam l'makom, in a relationship with Hashem, everything's al pi Torah, constantly involved in it. You don't need a symbol for that. Okay? That's the word. Therefore, That's why everybody will agree, to answer question number three, that Shavuos, half the day, is lachem. You should be involved in physicality, because that's what the Torah is all about. We don't have a division between shul and state. Okay? That's what it is. We take it into the physical world. Our business deals, like I said, in the relationships, everything, from the most intimate thing, whether it's a husband or wife, whether it's going to the bathroom, anything, it has to be al pi Torah, right into the physicality. You know, the Medrash says, to emphasize this even more, the Medrash says the following. Actually, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara that says this. Gemara says, tell me if you remember this. Moshe goes up to Mount Sinai and he wants to bring the Torah. And the angels say, no, we don't want flesh, grub, coarse, flesh and blood person taking the Torah from us. No way. So Hashem says to Moshe, answer them. It's an amazing Gemara. Amazing Gemara. So Moshe says, tell me, were you slaves in Egypt? Angels say, no. Says, do you have parents? We have a mitzvah in the Torah to honor your parents. Do you have parents? No. We have a mitzvah in the Torah that says, don't steal. Don't murder. Tell me, do you have jealousy up there? Do you have hatred up there? Do you have any of these negative, you know, these eight Torah qualities? No. And Moshe was menatzeach. He defeated angels, and they were convinced that the Torah is for us. In other words, the whole idea, it says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, which distracts us in the physical world, but I gave you the Torah as an antidote. I gave you the Torah to help you combat the Yetzirah in the physical world. So the whole reason Moshe was allowed to take the Torah down to us, whatever that means, that was a very, you know, mystical thing that we just explained that Gemara. But whatever it means was the fact that we are physical and we are involved in the physical world. We need the Torah. We dafka need the Torah. Angels don't need the Torah. Okay? So that is what defeated angels. We got the Torah, and therefore, on Shavuos, everybody would agree that you spend half the day in the physicality, because that's what the Torah is all about. It's not just being in an ivory tower. It's taking it into the physical world and elevating the physical to Kedusha. Okay? So that explains that. Now, last question. It's the main source of Simcha, we said. Right? So, if you think about it, why is Shavuos the main source of Simcha? You know, we say in the davening, continually, we always say in the davening, Asher Bachabanami, Kol Omim, you know, you chose from all the nations. If you look at, in the festival, Shemona Esrei, some beautiful language, you raised us from all the other tongues, all the other nations, and you picked us, right, to call on your great name. Beautiful language there, right? So, that's just a tremendous simcha. This day represents the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated us from all the nations of the world to make us his nation, gave us his Torah, this precious, precious jewel in heaven, right? That everybody was arguing whether it should ever leave heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. Okay? So the simcha is the main thing is by Shavuos, because it's a Yom Tov of Hakar Satayv. This is very important of it. A Yom Tov of being grateful. That's what Shavuos is about. To be grateful, to thank Hashem that we have a Torah. We know how to live our lives. You know how many people out there are wandering around just chasing after physical desires as an end in itself, not as a means of an end? You know, they don't know where to go. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they wake up the next day, you know, they're 80 years old, their whole life went. They never stopped. They don't know what's going on. They think, they work so they can eat. And they eat so they can work, and this is a non-stop cycle. And they get a 2-week vacation, and they go through the routine, and they go, and they convince themselves they're having fun, and they go back, and they go to the tomb, but they never stop to think. They know what they're doing. They don't have a rudder in the water. They don't know what's going on. We, Baruch Hashem, we have the Torah. We have a guide. We know where to go. So this is the holiday that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us life. Kem Chayenu. In this world, next world, Avada, we have life. That's what the next world's all about, is Torah. But in this world, the Jew enjoys this world. He has something to live for. He has a balance in the physical world. If the physical isn't just physical, use it with spirituality. We have a shamus. We have a family, right? We have a relationship with each other. Jews, we have one big family, right? It's a whole life with Torah. So this is the holiday. That's the ultimate simcha. That's the ultimate simcha. That's the holiday of a Kohen. You got to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu. Got to Shabbat Chabad and Mikol Amin. They transform the nation. That's the speaker. Now, this is the day that we show our godless, why we're so great. Okay? Now, I got to tell you, when you think about it, you know, we all get distracted and we take things for granted. We forget about, you know, how important the Torah is and how everything I just said, we really know this. It's not chiddush what I'm saying, right? We know this, but partially we don't stop to think about it. We go through our routine and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. And we all have little chores. And somehow, you know, we always let the chores overwhelm us. I'm not saying people aren't genuine chores. I'm not saying that. But we tend sometimes not to put things in perspective. Some chores is real, but some chores isn't. And even the chores that's real, when it's compared to the overall thing, it's in a different perspective. Okay. Let's say you just won the lotto. You just won $10 million. Years ago, I could have used $1 million. Now I have to use the example of $10 million. Inflation. Okay, you just won the $10 million, right? Right? So, what happens? You come home, and you find out a kid broke the chair. One of your kids broke a chair, $100 chair. That's a chair. Normally, that would bother you. But they ain't going to bother you. It's a claim of kind. It's a little thing. You just won $10 million. Who cares? That's us. Every one of us just won the lotto. We have the Torah. We're Jews. You won the lotto. Everything else, all the chores, is a broken chair. It's a nice guy. It's a small thing. Okay? You're not going to let it bother you. Because you got the Iker Zach. You got the Iker Zach. You got the Torah. Right? I'm telling you guys, this is not a performance. Think into this. What would be like not to be Jewish, not to have the Torah? It's no life. You're just twitching. You ain't living. You got to really think about it. Stop and think about it. If a person thinks about it, it's not shayach to be sad. You're not going to be sad. You're going to be filled with tremendous simcha. That's why this is the Iker Simcha. You think really into this. You got it made. Everything else from now on is gravy. Oh, you're married? Oh, you have children? Oh, Baruch Hashem, you got a job? You got a house? Gravy, gravy, gravy. But even if you didn't have those things, you got the main zach. You won the lotto. Who cares you got a broken shoe strap? Right, whatever it is. So you got to think about this. Okay, so that's the word. We have the millions. And that's what Shavuos is all about. And that's what the Hakaras Torah, the Iker Simcha, is by Shavuos. Okay, now we're going to go more into detail. But besides the fact, you know, it's always, so recently two people in particular, they thought they had something very serious disease. I don't need to tell you what, right? So, you guys probably have all had some similar experience. Found out they did not have it. During those few weeks, the tests were being in for the results, they were like tremendous trepidation and, you know, tremendous worries. And you start to get things in perspective, what's really important in your life, too. You know, I got the report. Everything's fine. They're in tremendous simcha. But the truth is, nothing's different from that moment than it was a month ago. They had the same things, but it took this scare, right, to make them appreciate everything they have. All they could think about, you know, people, I'm sure, is if I was just healthy, I don't care. All the sores, all the other things I have, the problems with the spouse, the children, and the job, they're all fine, just I want to be healthy, you know. Well, no, you know, what's so fair that we have to feel simcha we have to be healthy to feel simcha? We have to have a scare? Why do we have to have a scare? Let's feel simcha now, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. This is the gravy, not to mention the millions that we have. Okay. Plus the fact, I got to tell you, we have a sitter here. It says in Uval Tzion,
Baal Peon in the morning, davening. It's a beautiful prayer. It says we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to be involved in his Torah. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, here it is. We say, Nevalet Zion, open our hearts to your Torah, put in our hearts a love for you and a fear from you, do your will, serve your full heart. Leman lo nagia larik velo neilad lebe halah. Right? Open our hearts to your Torah, give us love and fear for you, so we won't go in vanity and go into emptiness. That's it. If you don't have Torah, your whole life is vanity and emptiness. That's it. It's right there. You got to realize that. Read Ecclesiastics, Kohelet, sometimes. Puts things in perspective. Okay. Okay, now we're going to go into a little bit more detail of things here. Okay? We learn a lot of halachas I said about a wedding, but we really learn a tremendous amount of halachas about being a ger tzedek, about being a convert on this day. Now, all of us, in a certain sense, were like a convert in this day, right? We did certain things that a convert does. We all went to the mikvah, you know. And, okay, so we learn a lot of halachas of ger tzedek today, so it's very appropriate that on Shavuos, we read Megillas Ruth, okay, because she... You know, she's the convert who David HaMelech came from, which means Mashiach will come from. And David, you ready?
Yes.
I'm talking about your namesake here. Yes. David HaMelech was born when? Right, Shavuot. And he died when?
Shavuot.
Right, Shavuot. And the day that David born, the day of the week, was a Shabbos Shavuot. And he died 70 years later exactly on Shabbos Shavuot. And everybody agrees that the Shavuot at Mount Sinai was on Shabbos, which is a separate Zach. Shabbos was given to learn Torah. Remember that. So David HaMelech stems from Ruth. Shmuel Novi, the prophet Shmuel, only wrote Ruth. He wrote it out. It happened during time of Judges to show the legitimacy of King David. There was a whole question about him. Okay? To show how legitimate he was. Okay, therefore, number one, we read it on Shavuos, which is the Yortzeit, the birthday of the Yortzeit of David HaMelech. Okay. Number two, all the halachas of being a convert we learn at Mount Sinai, we're all in that category, as was Ruth, right? Because, right, you know that a non-Jew keeps seven mitzvahs, right? So as a convert, you take on an extra how many? 606, which of course is the numerical value of Ruth. Reish, Vav, Tav. Reish is 200, Avad is 6, and Tav is 400, 606. Isn't that nice? Okay? Okay, so we take an extra 606 minutes. Okay, very good. So that's that. Now we'll move on to something else. You know, the other thing that I mentioned, I wanted to tie this in, you know, we say that every part of our day, we have no symbols on Shavuos, we said, because everything in the day is involved in Shavuos. Every part of our lives, every day, every moment is involved in our lives. It's very significant that the mitzvahs are divided up. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? 365 negative mitzvahs are parallel to the days of the solar calendar and 248 to the limbs of the body. So that's not just a cute little thing. It's telling you there's nothing in the physical body and there's no time in the physical calendar that the Torah does not associate with. In other words, we serve Hashem with every moment of the day throughout the year with every part of the body. It's all encompassing. Again, another reason you don't need symbols. Oh, how it's all encompassing. Shavuos is the day of the giving of the Torah. It's the day of the creation of the world in a certain sense. What do I mean? If you look at the account of creation, it says Yom HaShishi. You know, right? Now it's finished on the sixth day. Well, it, in Hebrew diktuk, Hebrew grammar, ha before the word, the hey before the word means. It's called Hey Yadiyah. It means the known sixth day. Like it says by Abraham, Ha Hamor, ye donkey. So they talk about that donkey. That's the donkey that Moshe Rabbeinu rode on when he came to Egypt. It's the donkey of the Mashiach. Ha Hamor, the donkey, right? The. So Yom HaShishi, the world was like in flux, if you will, HaShishi, until the sixth day. The sixth day. The sixth day of Sivan. That's Shavuos. until Israel accepted the Torah, the world did not have a kiyum. It wasn't settled whether it would be established or not. What? Because you got to understand, Bereshis, the Darshan, Bereshis, Bereshis, for two, base, numeric value two, for two things that are called Reshis, the first thing the world's created. Israel is called Reshis, they bring a verse, and Torah is called Reshis. In other words, for the sake of Israel observing the Torah was the creation of the world. If there's nobody to accept the Torah, there's no purpose for creation. Do you know that? Do you know that if there's not at least one Jew somewhere in the world learning Torah, the world would go tohu bohu. It would go null and void. That's a fact. The Torah is the blueprint of the world, right? If you look at the beginning of that, the Stone Chumash, it talks about a little nice little essay on that. Okay? So, this is the day, Yom HaShishi, the sixth of Sivan, the giving of the Suas, that establishes a world, yes, will have a culmination. It will exist. Okay? Okay. So that's that. Now, By the way, I used to go to a big tzaddik's house in Israel called, his name is Rav Mundry, and he used to say, he's very sensitive, and he used to say, you know, Rosh Hashanah, we cry all day. We cry in Rosh Hashanah, Day of Judgment, we cry, but if you think about it, what are we crying for? Another slice of challah? Rosh Hashanah, your whole parnasa, your whole sustenance, how much money you're going to make for the year is decided. And Shavuos, we don't cry. Shavuos, the whole amount of Torah, your spirituality is being decided for the year. Your whole, how much spirituality you're going to have for the year is being decided at Mount Sinai. And it's not for very good reason, because we knew once we got the Torah, we were going to have to delve into it. So we slept before. But on their level, we were on a very high level, we were judged very finely, so it was considered a sin. So this is supposed to be a rectification for it, that we stay up at night. The Zohar writes very, very beautiful things about people that, you know, you stay up and learn. What all the things that happen, so the mysticism and Kabbalah, it's a beautiful thing, but you gotta be smart. Rav David Rappaport used to say that a Ben Torah, you know, Yeshiva guy, he shouldn't stay up all night. He should stay with the same learning Seder. And the Shulchan Aruch also says, if a person's going to stay up all night and not be able to concentrate on his davening in the morning and fall asleep and miss the Torah reading, whatever it is, you know, and then sleep all day, it really defeats the whole thing. In fact, you're not allowed to do that. If you know you can't concentrate in the morning, okay? Some people have stomach problems also. If they're not in a regular cycle, they don't get a good night's sleep, they won't be able to make their, it'll ruin their yontes. It'll ruin their yontes. So you don't. And the truth is, I tell you, there's a bigger inyan to stay up all night Pesach. Stay all night Pesach. And to talk about, we have the story of B'nai Brak, Rabbi Akiva, and everybody, and all the rabbis there staying up all night talking about the Pesach and the Nisim. It's a bigger thing than really stay up all night Pesach. So that's what it's about. So you got to be smart. If it's your yontif, you know, it's a yontif to enjoy, and staying up all night is not for everybody. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not belittling it. But okay. There's a question that's asked on Shavuos, and that is the following. We know that we gave the famous anthem of the Jewish people, our greatness, that we said, Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do the Torah, then we'll hear what's in it. Right? Right. And the question's asked that it says in the Torah, the Yitzyatzvu b'tachti sahar, that we sat at the edge of the mountain, you know, but literally it means under the mountain. And from there, the Gemara derives Shekafa aleim ahar kegagis, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain over like a barrel and said, if you accept the Torah, fine. If not, this will be your burial spot. You hear? He held the Torah over our heads and forced us to accept the Torah, so to speak. Well, we said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Why was that necessary? Okay, that's the question. That's the question. A lot and lot of answers on this. We voluntarily accept the Torah, Na'aseh v'nishma. And now we have the... Now, okay. So one of the answers that says that, you know, you have tremendous revelation. God tore the heavens asunder, you know, open miracles. So how can you not accept the Torah? I mean, like, you know, there's very little free will there. So Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, yes, now you accept the Torah because you have a tremendous tshuka, a tremendous desire, a tremendous awakening, and you're feeling, you know, the geshmak and everything. You want to accept the Torah. That's beautiful. But I want you to know, even if you didn't feel that, I'm holding the mountain over yet. You still have to accept the Torah. In other words, future generations or future times where you don't feel like getting up and davening or learning Torah or generations that are involved in all the materialism of America, you still got to accept the Torah. Whether you feel like it or you don't, know that the Torah, you have to do it. If you want to accept it on your own, that's great, that's on your part. But from Hashem's part, the Torah you have to accept. You have to do it. Okay? So that's one answer. Another answer is that they say that if you look at the words, the Yitzhak, that we ourselves put ourselves underneath the mountain. That we were making a statement here. That we wanted to be forced to accept the Torah. Mashma batzmenu b'tzonenu. That we, with our own desire, went on the mountain and we were making a statement. The lo Torah, ma chayus shoveh. Without Torah, what's life worth? Ephes v'ayin, like nothing. In other words, if we accept the Torah, great. If not, we're like dead. We might as well be buried. It was like, you know, we were realizing the chasidus. They say nasa nishma is the language, the Gemara says this. This is the language that Hashem said, who taught my children to use the language angels use? We will do, and then we'll hear. That's not a normal human response. Right, especially, you know, our people. Right? That we'll do, we'll hear. No, but that's really the essence of a Jew. We spoke like angels who are created with no yetzer hara just to do the will of God. So because we got to such a level there that we realized, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to give us something, right? We'll do it automatically. Whatever you want, we'll do it. What if Hashem asks you the impossible? The answer to that is we knew that the truth is everything is impossible to do. Any commandment in Torah, as we mentioned before. But the fact, asher kitshanu b'mitzvoisecha, you know what that means? You sanctified us with your commandments? It means the fact that there's a tzivui, a commandment from God, makes it possible that we can do it. That makes it possible. So we understood that. Therefore we can say nasav nishma. If you command us something, it may be impossible, but once you give the commandment, that will make it physically possible that we can do it. That's why there's a statement there, and it says, if the Torah was in heaven, the Torah's on earth for us to decide certain halakhic things, but if it was in heaven, we have to go up there and get it. How? Hashem would make it possible. He would give a commandment. That would make it physically possible to do it. Other answers on this, the Har Kigigis, is the following. The fact that we are forced to accept the Torah, even though we voluntarily took it on, tells us that even if a person learns Torah, gets up and davens, does a mitzvah when they don't feel like it, mumbles the words, whatever it is, that is accepted by God. In fact, it may be, for all we know, a higher service than those times that you're feeling all the simcha. Why? Because you didn't feel like getting out of bed. And you did to get small in time. You made a statement. Oh, you mumbled the word, you're exhausted, you only got 4 hours sleep. But I did it for you, Hashem. I didn't want to, I wanted to sleep. I felt nothing. I don't remember if I said the words right, but you did it. Without the open revelations, the mountain was on your head, you suspended on your head, you got up and you did it. And that shows that you took on the yoke of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a true servant of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Okay. The fact that we said that the first of the Ten Commandments says Zechus Yas Mitzrayim, that why we say Zechus Yas Mitzrayim, Anokhi Hashem Lokecha, that took you out of Egypt, because only now we truly become free, as we mentioned, right? This is the Gemar, this is the finished product. Okay. Now, the fact is, on Nasa Benishma, it says that the angels, because the language they use is because we were Makdim. First we said Nasa, then we said Nishma. And because we said it in that order, it says two angels came and put two crowns on every Jew. That's what it says. Two crowns on every Jew. One for Nasa, one for Nishma. So it's mashma from this that if we had not... The Kudus doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't say, because we said Nasa and Nishma. It says because we were Makdim. We first... That means first we said Nasa and then Nishma. Why? Because we all know what the greatest learning of Torah is amanas la'asos, to be able to do. You learn how to do the mitzvah, right? You learn, so you don't know how to do. That's one of the highest levels. A person learns Torah and doesn't do, right, since he has no Torah. So you might have thought, nishma v'naseh. Let's hear what it is, so we know how to do it. No. The Jewish people said, we realize we have to do that, but we also realize even just learning Torah, which looks like it will have no, if you will, practical application, right? Everything has a practical application. Everything affects physicality, but whatever. Okay? If you learn about the city, idol worshiping city, which the Gemara says it never was and never will be, according to one opinion, right? But you're learning Torah. That in itself, you realize, is important as a mitzvah, right? Therefore, we got two crowns. That's what it means that we were mocked in. First, we said, Naseh. Right? We'll do. But not only that, B'nishma. And we'll learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah. Even if it doesn't involve something we need to know how to do. Because learning Torah in itself is a mitzvah. Okay? Okay, that's the Beis Halevi says that. It's a very famous word by the Beis Halevi. Okay? Okay, beautiful language. It says that the children of Israel understood their whole purpose of being created, just like the angels on high, and they want to be forced to accept Mukhrachim, Asos Tavar Hashem. They want to be forced. They say that's the ultimate form of free will, is that you don't want to have any free will. You want to be forced to do the will of God. We don't understand this. Okay? So that's another interpretation of why the mountain was suspended over us. Okay? The other reason, another thing on the Nasa Venishma, by doing, a person is sanctifies all their limbs. First, sanctifies all his limbs by doing, and now his ear, his eyes, mouth, everything becomes a kli for kedusha, becomes a vessel for holiness. Nasa, and then nishma. Okay, and then we'll learn. Also, nasa means doing the mitzvahs, and reward for doing the mitzvahs without understanding why a person merits to get the nishma, which the nishma means the pnimius, the inner dimensions of the mitzvah, understand some of the reasons. If a person does it for that reason, if he says, Nishma v'nasa, let me understand, let me see if it jives, it makes sense to me, to my logic, you know, Nishma then nasa, no way. The Jew says, nasa first. For the non-Jewish world, we want them to say, Nishma v'nasa. That's what Yisro said. I, you know, studied everything, I see God is greater than all the other God, you know, any other deity, right? We want them to do that because there's no mitzvah for them to be a Jew. But by us, we do it. We don't understand. We don't need to understand. We do it. And if we do it for that reason, then we're Zeicha. We get the Nishma. We'll understand some of the inner dimensions. Okay? That will be like the gift from God. Okay? All right? Next. Okay, all the 613 mitzvahs are in the Ten Commandments. This is a very famous Rav Sadia Gaon. He would show you how all the 613 mitzvahs, the umbrella for them, if you will, is the Ten Commandments. And in particular, the first commandment, Anoich Hashem Lokech, I'm the Lord your God, all the 613 commandments are encompassed under that. And some people say the positive commandments are there under that. And the second commandment, you know, Lo Tehelecha Elohim El Karim, you shouldn't have any other gods, that encapsulates all the negative commandments. Why? Think about it. Every time you do a mitzvah, what are you saying, Dovin? You're making a statement. Every time I do a mitzvah, I'm making a statement. You are, you know, God, you're the Lord my God. That's why I'm doing it. Think about it. You're emphasizing that. Right? And every time a person sins, they're serving other gods. They're saying, you know, God wants to do this, but I want to do this. So therefore, it makes very good sense. Right? All the negative commandments are under don't make yourself other gods. Because every time a person sins, that's what they're doing. They're making other gods. They're making themselves into the Vodazara. That's the biggest of Vodazara. That's the biggest of the ego, right? The I. Right? Okay. Okay, so that's the 630 commandments of the 10 commandments that we're going to read in Shul. It's Hashem, okay? Now they say also that in the name of the Zohar, B'Shem HaZohar, the Zohar, the, you know, the book of Kabbalah, says that all this world is a parable. You thought this was real out, all that stuff out there. Listen to this stuff. Listen to this. The world is a parable to the words of the Torah. The Torah is the real dimension. It's the blueprint. It's the real thing, right? And according to that, to the ability that the person has a grasp on the Torah, that's how much he'll understand the parable of the things of this world. Okay, and that's why we go to our leading sages, not just for Torah advice, but for secular advice. I give you example after example of how there were geniuses. Rob Salanter had a son who was a very famous engineer, and for months he couldn't figure something out. And once he came home to visit his father, he showed him the blueprints, and Rob Salanter, who never studied engineering, they couldn't figure out why something wasn't working. For months they were bogged down on it. Rob Salanter pointed, look, he studied the blueprints for a few minutes and pointed exactly to the problem. The Vilna Gaon learned all the mathematics and astronomy from the Torah. And by the way, anybody who's in mathematics, if you ever heard, there's a basic theory of mathematics called the Kramer theory. Kramer theory. It's accepted by everybody. That's the Vilna Gaon's last name. Rav Eliyahu Kramer. That was his theory. How do you get that? You never learn mathematics. It's all in the Torah. All the wisdom of the world is in the Torah. All our destinies, all our missions. Did you know that? Is in the Torah. Famous story at the Ramban. We had a student named Avner who went off the way. And when the Rambam said this in class, in Hazinu it says in that Torah portion, everybody's mission definitely is described in the Torah, and Avner went off the way. He became a heretic. So the Rambam, Nachmanides, once met him, and I said, what caused you to go off the way? And he told him, this thing that you told me, you know, everybody's, I couldn't believe it. Everybody's name is in the Torah, describes their destiny. And he says, I'll show you yours. He put him on the spot, he said, show me mine. He read him the acronym of his name, Avner, Aleph Beis Nun Reish, and it spelled the words in Hazinu that he'll go and he won't be heard from anymore. And he was so shooken up, they said that's exactly what happened. He took a boat out into sea and no one ever heard from him again. Wild, wild story. Okay. Okay, next. This is an interesting thing. It says one of the reasons God spent the mountain over us is that for all generations Torah would be with Israel. What does it mean? Listen to this. We all can relate to this. Why? We accepted it on our own. But what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over us and forced us to accept it? Right? Well, if you know the teva, the nature of a person, is when they're forced and told to do something, right? That's immediately when we rebel against doing it, right? Anybody who was going to take out the garbage for their, you know, their mother or whatever it is, right? Right, they would have done it. But, you know, your sibling or your parent tells you, take out the garbage. Something inside immediately rebels against that. Had you not told me, I would have done it. We don't want to be told what to do, right? So here, we accepted the Torah. Of course, Baruch Hu forced the Torah on us anyways, right? So we accepted it by being forced to accept it, and that's a Kabbalah of a Torah, an acceptance of the Torah that will be nitzchias, that will be forever, under all conditions, at all times. Hashem Mishmul says this. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Okay. Now, the Torah also, we should, you know, all this beautiful Vortaluk that we're learning, we should forget, should not forget, the main idea of the Torah is that it should direct and rule over the way we live. And everything we do, we should always stop and think, is this Al-Pi Torah? Is this something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shep nachas from? Right? You have to remember that all the time. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. That's why the Ten Commandments are in singular. Everybody could be doing something else, right? It doesn't matter. The world could be immoral and doing all sorts of crazy things. But it's written in singular to tell you that even if the whole world is doing everything, the world was made for you. You alone. A person should think that way sometimes. It's incumbent upon me to accept the Torah. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. That's why it's in singular. Okay? Okay. I want to finish with the story. I'll give you a couple more things here. I want to finish with a beautiful story. Okay. So first of all, we know there's a famous statement also at Mount Sinai. It says, that we saw the sound. Remember that? Thunder. We saw it. What's going on there? You see sounds? You don't see sounds. You hear sounds. And Rashi says there, Melambim come to teach us, Shiroya Masha Nishma, the Nishma Masha Roya, something like that. That we saw what was normally heard, and we heard what was normally seen. I don't know if you remember, we talked about this during the Parsha of Yisro, but it's worth repeating. If you think about it in senses, the hearing and seeing, right? hearing is a much more spiritual, less physical, cush sense. Seeing, after all, the expression seeing is believing. I can see this, the table. I can believe it's there. But hearing, hearing is a very weird thing, right? You don't see the sound waves, right? It's a very spiritual dimension. So, you know, at Mount Sinai, it says we encamp ish echad v'levecha, like one man with one heart, ultimate unity. I want you to know that unity extended to the very body. That our senses interrelated. Not only could we see with our eyes, we could see with our ears. We could hear with our eyes. The senses weren't separated. But more, when we just talked about spiritual and physical senses, right? We had gotten to such a level that spirituality for us was such a real thing. Do you know what? We could see the sounds. Something that was normally only heard. You know, spirituality, you can't really see it. You can't really get a grasp on it. You can just hear it. We could see it. We could see it like it was physical. Because we were so spiritual. And the opposite, right? We could only hear what was normally seen. The physical world became so distant from us, right? That we couldn't even see it anymore. Right? We could just, like, hear it. It became very vague, like spirituality is to us. That's the level that we got to there. Amazing thing, okay? Okay. Okay, we're going to finish with this story. We probably forget what we have here, so I want to tell you this story. Let's go. Parable is given as following. You know, again, you know, the Yetzer Hara is called a Melech Zaken, an old king. Right, an old king because he makes everything old. The Yetzer Hara's ability is to make things old. That's our biggest problem. We lose the hischadshus in things. We lose the newness in things. Right, that's our biggest problem. You know, when the first time you get to fill and the first time you celebrate a Shabbos or something, you feel the geschmack. After a while, you get it old. And that's why the Yetzer Hara is called a Yeled. Kind of like a young boy. Young, new, exciting. Okay? But the Yetzer Hara always tries to make everything old and routine and by rote. Okay, so that's why I'm going to tell you this story. We've got to be very careful. We've got to stop and think what things are about. You know, the story is the following. There was a guy wallowing in the garbage heap, right? And he was afflicted with all kinds of illnesses. Right? No one wanted to get near him. And the king was walking with his retinue there, the whole royal court, and for some reason, took pity on this afflicted man with all these afflictions on him. So he commanded the people, his royal entourage, to take him, to heal him, give him all sorts of medicine, dress him in royal costly garments, educate him on the finer things in life, right, and adorn him with gems, and give him the king's daughter for a wife. Okay? Right, and not only that, all the king's noblemen are to serve him. Okay, so this goes on for a few years. One day they're walking in the street, and sure enough, they go right by that same street that they first picked him up. And he sees some children or whatever it is, some of his chevra there, wallowing in the garbage, playing around. You know what he does? He chunks off his crown. He becomes envious that they're playing in the garbage heap, and he takes off his royal garments, and he dives into the garbage heap and starts playing with them, wallowing in the refuse there. Right? Can there be any limits to the punishment this man deserves? Can there be any more of an ingrate than this man? Right? And I gotta tell you, that man is us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some intrinsic reason, picked us because we are children of Avraham. He had an intrinsic love, it says, in the Talmud for Avraham. So, he has an intrinsic love for the Jewish people. Right? And he picked us out of all the nations. And he took us out of our afflictions and our illnesses. Right? And he educated us and he gave us the Torah. And the mitzvahs, gems, royal garments, crowns. Right? And he commanded all his noblemen to serve all the nations of the world. Well, he's our service when we do his will. They do our work. And he gave us his daughter, for a wife. It is the Torah. We're told you it's a wedding at Mount Sinai, right? Right? It educates for finer things. We have the Torah, beautiful life, everything. This world, next world. What do? After thousands of years of doing the Torah, be married to it, all of a sudden we come to a new country and we see children, the goyim, playing in the garbage heap. Sports, basketball, hockey, who knows, Hollywood, movie, all the narcotics they're involved in. And we're envious. We're envious. We want to roll around in the garbage heap. And we chunk off our royal crowns, we take off our royal garments, and we dive in. And we dive into the smuts all the way up to our neck of the taivas and the lusts and desires and the materialism of their world, their culture, and their values. That's that. Because we forget. We push it, forget what we have. We have the millions. But we take it for granted because the Yetzer Hara is a melech zaken. It makes it old, and we forget the news of it. So Shavuos is coming. It's a time to plug in. To plug in, to get a hischadshus, a newness. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The first mitzvah to Jewish people is this is a new month for you. HaChodesh Chadash. Chadash. Get a hischadshus, a newness. Don't let it get stale and old. Right? Remember who you are. Your royalty. Each one of us is royalty. That's the greatest simcha. Shavuos is the ikar simcha. Because we appreciate, we realize we're supposed to come to the realization who we are, what we have. The Torah, we're millionaires. We got the lotto. Any problems we have, plain a kite. It's a broken chair, okay? No big deal. And we don't want anything to do with, right, the garbage heap out there. We don't need it. We got royal garments. So let's behave like royalty. We have a chance to re-accept the Torah Shavuos. No anniversaries in the Jewish calendar. We re-accept the Torah on Shavuos. We rededicate ourselves to it. We dedicate to who we are. Put back on our royal garments and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Simcha. This is the Makor, the foundation of Simcha, of who we are and what we have. Everybody should have a wonderful Yom Tov, a Kabbalah Satoya, a Mimish, an Emes Kabbalah Satoya, that we should take the Torah and realize Tihem Chayenu. It's our life. Not just in that world. In this world, it makes our lives worth living. Now, without the Torah, the mountain should be, without the Torah, there's no Chayim. With the Torah, there's Simcha, there's Chayim, right? And his Chadshus, a newness, we've got to appreciate it. So, everybody should get with the haspah, the flow of the blessing of the yontif, the reacceptance of Torah, and serve Hashem throughout the year with a newness and with a simcha. Thank you very much.